Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll leave you with this with Dustin Chaffin.
Please subscribe to our Patreon page. You can hear all kinds of extras with TJ Miller on the road and Hell Gig stories and behind the scenes of a comedy club in Manhattan. So please support that. I could really use your support. So if you like this podcast, please sign up for Patreon page. It's only like $2 and you can really kind of get some extra stuff that I want to try to add. It's even getting better and better each week. So please support us and I'll give back, I promise. You're not as excited about technology? I am. It's like podcasting. Do you do podcasts? You got a podcast?
No, I know. I like
You're the only comic without a podcast.
I know.
How's people that feel?
It feels good. It feels good, but
feel liberated.
But the thing is, people keep they have a point. They're like, well, but you've got the vegan thing. Why don't you do a so I'm thinking about doing one, like get a comic. This is my idea.
Yeah.
Actually, I won't say it because somebody's going to steal it. But it's how bad it is.
There's only 16 open micers that listen to this. You're fine. <All
right. laughs> So that's 16 people are going to steal this. Damn. But something vegan related.
So vegan oriented. Yeah. Okay. Wow, you didn't wait long to get into that, did you?
No, I'm trying to, you know.
That's the things with vegans, man. I mean, literally within seconds, they're going to let you know they're vegan. I mean, sorry. It's seconds.
Sorry. Is that Diet Mountain Dew vegan?
It is, man. You're like, you're going to judge me for drinking my Diet Mountain Dew? I know there's a lot of chemicals in there, but it's better than the cocaine I used to do.
That's true. These are vegan chemicals.
I'll take it. I don't give a shit. You think that's going to hurt me? Come on. See the shit I've been through?
True.
Fucking drugs I put in my body? Fucking ugh. Yeah, no, I was, you know, I figured the vegan thing would come up. I didn't think it would come up this quick, but it's...
Sorry.
But it's, you know, it's a big part of your life, obviously.
Like, yeah,
you know, you're a restaurateur and you know you talk about, look at your phone, man. You be present 5 seconds.
That's for restaurant related.
I have never seen anybody with as, like, I love you as a person and I feel like I don't hang out with you enough, so I feel like that's what podcasts are for, so people right. Kind of get to know each other more. But you have literally the most Instagram pages I've ever, like Instagram story vignettes that I've ever seen in my life.
They are a lot.
it's like, hey, he's playing soccer. Oh, he's still playing soccer. Oh, yeah, he's still doing that. And oh, he's still playing soccer.
Oh,
okay, he's eating something vegan. He's doing this. Vegan. I mean, it's hilarious. That's how long funny. It lasts. But the vegan thing, did you have a bad experience with meat? Like, talk to me. Somebody hit you with like a hot dog or something?
No, I am. I got high and saw a documentary, and that was
What documentary?
What was it called? Earthlings or something?
Earthlings.
One of them where cows are just getting stepped on, and I'm like,
how long have you been? How you been into this whole thing?
So I've been. This is going to be a shocker to some people. So I have never. People have always assumed I was vegan because the restaurant.
Oh.
I've been vegetarian.
Okay.
Which means I would still fuck with.
Who cares? That's fine. You fuck with what? Cheese and eggs?
Cheese and eggs. But it's just a kind of, well, I used to, which was a big deal. You know, in the vegan world, they don't give a shit about it. They're like, once you're not vegan, you're an enemy. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So then I started being like, so that was going on for 12 years, vegetarian.
Okay. You paid your dues.
Yeah. And then I went vegan, like, all right, let me try this.
So vegetarians eat eggs?
Eggs, cheese, milk, even honey.
Huh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, so vegetarians are not that.
I eat a lot of eggs. I feel like a lot of my diet is eggs.
I thought I would miss eggs more.
You miss it. You're just trying to sell your restaurant.
Yeah. Just Saturday and Sunday, though, they have this tofu scramble. It's at this place. No, actually, I don't, though.
I miss everything. You don't miss stuff? I miss everything.
I miss something. I miss
everything that I don't do anymore.
Certain mozzarella, certain pesto.
Yeah.
Out of meat, I miss pork chops more than anything.
Yeah. Like
they could do a fucking veggie meatloaf and it tastes okay.
Yeah.
You throw in a bunch, you know, there's like even breaded chicken that was somehow.
Do they try to do a veggie pork chop?
I hope not. They definitely have. They'll take it. They'll do like veggie cow tongue. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Just leave
weird.
Something alone.
That's weird.
That, I admit, is crazy.
But pork chops. They got to be. How'd you like your pork chops cooked?
So there was two ways. There would be like, I don't know if there's a Latin thing, but we just fry it. Thin pork chops fried with a little seasoning.
Okay.
Well, my mom used to fry them. Then she would bread them and mm-hmm. bake them in the broiler, and they'd be crispy. And that fat juice, whatever.
Are you a cook and chef as well? Or
yeah.
You are? Okay.
Not a chef, but a cook, yeah.
Okay.
All the recipes at our restaurant at 156 Fifth Avenue in Park Slope, Brooklyn. And 12
State. We're going to get to all that, dummy. Just talk.
No, but they're pretty much me and my brother and I, and we grew up with our parents cooking a lot, so we would hang around the kitchen.
Nice. So that's got to be a good angle, because with girls and stuff that you can cook.
They definitely like it, but if they're not into vegan food, then they're like, we don't. Like, I met this one girl. Yeah. I remember she was, so I gotta have my meat. One of those. I gotta have my meat, my proteins. I need the proteins. And I'm just like, and it was kind of annoying because she's like, she couldn't picture like dating somebody who didn't eat meat and like it
really?
Working. It's like, I will eat your booty, but okay, never mind.
Come on, that's worse than eating a pork chop these days.
That's true.
Talk about chemicals. You don't know what the fuck's down there.
That's very true.
So, all right. So, we got into the vegan thing. Yeah, I don't, whatever, man. I just, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where I just, grew up in Texas, so it's all we eat is meat, Yeah. But it's not that big. I know it's bad for you at some point, but I try to eat, better meat, leaner stuff and like fish and things like that. I try to get that into my diet, but I don't know. But at the same time, when you're a comic, it's like, say, hey, Chick-fil-A, you don't give a shit. Like, you just eat horrible things. But I try to, try to eat good once in a while. But we're all going to go down. Pretty much after 77, we're all going down anyway. So it's like those 7 years really that great. You're going to be jogging. I'm going to be in a wheelchair. Like, whatever, dude. You're only going to be like 4 years more than me. You know what I mean?
No, I feel you. I don't promote it, though. I'm like, I promote it. The restaurant I used to like as a joke because of course I want to pay rent, but I don't I wonder if you're happy and you're not like terribly hurting yourself. Vegans are gonna hate me for this, but like then I don't push them. You gotta be vegan. I was like, just do it, mate. I'd rather the person be happy and I'm happy with my diet, so I don't want people to bother me.
But it's definitely your identity.
Yeah,
it's a big part of your life. I mean, you do a lot of jokes on it, and you have a restaurant.
Definitely
a couple of restaurants. Like you definitely, it's putting money in your pocket. It's it separates you as a comedian. Like, you use material.
Right.
It's like you're the vegan guy. We all talk about you. We're like that vegan guy.
I can't believe that's me. I used to eat bacon cheeseburgers all the time. Yeah, double deckers.
It's hard to pass those up, man.
Double deckers from Taco Bell.
Double deckers, it's definitely tough. On the road, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, well, what I would do is, first of all, I just avoid road gigs, but because I'm like, what am I going to eat? I'm going to eat with the cows.
Yeah,
but I will usually go to a supermarket and just bring a couple microwavable type, canned beans.
Oh, that's interesting. You use the microwave.
Yeah,
I thought you'd be one of those guys that didn't use a microwave, because those things are supposed to be bad for you too.
Yeah, I mean, I.
What's the point of eating a fucking broccoli if it's like you're nuking the shit out of it?
Yeah,
you're kind of going against the whole thing, bro.
I know.
You're adding other shit into it. Mountain Dew chemicals. Tasty.
Sometimes they have the little hot pots, in those little hotels. The little like frying pan.
I know
pan.
What they got, but they. So once in a while, I don't know what kind of gigs you're playing.
Yeah. Yeah, they usually don't. That's like the one gig 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. We all have one good gig with a great hotel. And then one kitchenette. Hilarious. All right, man. So I'll take it back a little bit. I don't know you at all very well. I've known you from you're sweet and you're funny, and we once in a while work together. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, but I, it's funny when people come up to me and be like, I've known you for years. I'm like, have you?
Yeah.
I said, we've seen each other for years. But have we known each other for years?
We said hi a lot.
We said hi a lot. And it's always friendly and fun. And you're very complimentary and cool. And I've always liked your energy, which is huge. Because I don't, say that a lot, Because I think it's a very important thing in comedy is the energy that you're putting out you know, with the other comics.
Hell yeah.
And it's like you're always kind of upbeat, and I've never really seen you like moody or anything, you know? Like, you seem like you kind of like, yeah, you're always kind of up. You're happy.
Yeah, I'm getting laid. You know what I mean? I don't know how else to put it. Like, I don't post any of that in my stories, but trust me, I'm doing good. Like,
yeah. No, you do. You're always, you're living life. Yeah, you're the Latino Danny Palmer. Yeah, you're running around.
Latino Danny Palmer. I love Danny Palmer. We're both losing our hair.
You guys are crushing it. Yeah, it's comedy. Comedy makes you lose your hair. That's what it does. Yeah, pick something else that doesn't cause anxiety, and you'll be fine.
Maybe I'll try the vegan restaurant business, and that's even worse. I don't know which one's harder.
So anyway, so I've seen you around. I've seen you doing comedy and stuff for a while, and, you know, crossing paths and stuff. And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's, you know, just one of those guys. It seems like you're always working hard. You know, you're always trying to, you know, get your thing, and you seem grateful, you know?
That's what it is. I am happy and I'm grateful.
You're grateful. Like,
even when I go on stage, I'm just happy. Even if it doesn't go great, I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe I even got an opportunity to, like...
Yeah, that's huge, man. And it's like... And I, you know, I... And you're also one of those guys that, like, you're just kind of... yeah, I forget, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all, and I don't forget you like I forget you. I just mean, like, I know you're out there doing stuff, so it's kind of like one of these guys that, like, I don't work with a lot or work, you know, in my place or whatever, just because I just, you know, you're doing your shit, and so it's, I know you're busy with the restaurant and stuff, but it's definitely, you're somebody I'd like to, you know, work with more. It's just, like, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where we just kind of miss each other and the night kind of thing.
Right.
You're on the east side, I'm on this side, whatever. But so where did you start comedy? Did you start in the city or in Manhattan? Or?
I started, I did, I got, I was at a, I was in a big relationship and it kind of went bad and I was fucking around.
What'd you do?
What do you think? I'm Colombian from Brooklyn. Take a guess.
He loves lots of girls.
Yeah, I ended up.
Yeah. In the relationship, what, like engaged or something?
I was with somebody for a while. I was pretty serious. We almost lived together for a little bit and then I kind of wasn't fully happy and I wasn't, back then I didn't know how to tackle like what was wrong and I just would drink and just get fucked up and just keep going, be happy, it's fine, don't worry, go play soccer. I have a lot of outlets, thankfully, so that kind of holds you off.
Yeah.
But you're never fully healing or whatever, fixing your shit.
Yeah.
So I was going through a lot of drinking and then I started doing a couple of YouTube videos, people liked them and then they were like, yo, why don't you try stand-up? So I just, somebody told me about badslava.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
open mic.
That's where all the dreams come true.
Yeah, it was cool. I remember that feeling, and I see all the new comics. So we have people host open mics in the back of our restaurant.
Yeah,
and it's very interesting because when they come in, they're coming in. It could be a customer, but I can tell who's an open mic.
They have that look in their eye.
That look, the book bag. The, like, they're almost rude, but it's also because they're super nervous. But they're also kind of rude. Like, they think they're bigger than they are. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Comedy's the one weird outlet that people, like, call themselves a comic so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, after, like, one open mic, I'm a comic.
Yeah.
Like, are you? You know, I don't think, you know, it's like you bought a paintbrush and now you're a painter. Is that how that works? Like, I don't know.
I always think of it with karaoke. Like, I love to do karaoke. I love to sing. I'm not a great singer, but I'm not going to now put my profile as a singer.
Yeah.
Like a picture. Like, I just did karaoke and no offense, open mic is kind of like karaoke. You're paying for your minutes.
Sure.
It's, you know, and I pay my dues.
Yeah.
I'll do an open mic if I needed to. If there was a good one, I would still do one. Like, I'm not like, you know. But so starting the open mics.
Interesting.
Hitting them up like crazy.
Yeah.
I went into comedy pretty hard in the first year because I met Kate Wolf and she was super turbo about everything.
Okay.
And she had a car. Come on, let's go. We'll go to this mic because I kind of got her into comedy like a month later. She was one of my bringers actually in one of my shows. And I was like, yo, you're really funny. And then I kind of took a step back from comedy because the restaurant got busy. But I tried interning. I did the barking. I did the bringer shows, and then I took a step back, and I was like doing. I just would do my monthly at V Spot.
Okay.
Sometimes that would be my only stage time. Yeah. I was like,
Kate Wolf kind of took an interesting turn. Like she, like, talk about finding yourself. Like she, you know, he's like tattoos and like just short blonde hair. Yeah. You're like a rainbow. And you're like hair. It's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
She's living it, man. She's doing whatever she wants.
She's like, I think she's always...
She's rapping now. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Half naked. It's like... I always give her props because, like, you know, some people figure that out later in life, like their expressive side. And she's always been artistic. Yeah. And, like, I remember she was in a bad marriage, and she's one of the few people that the husband thought he's got her almost trapped because he's a kid, and she actually left his ass and pursued comedy. And I'm always like, I use her as an example when there's other girls like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, this girl did it.
Yeah,
she's happier.
She's definitely like strong like that. But that is interesting though when you think about people, you know, when you come up with them and stuff, and just kind of what they're doing now, and like, but that is interesting. You said that about like, you know, kind of finding yourself late. And because that's the thing about comedy, it's like, it's the one thing where it's like, you can do, I was telling somebody today, you do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
You know, I dress whatever I want. Like, you say whatever you want.
It's
like,
crazy.
You just create your thing. You want to make props, you can. You can just go to Home Depot and just like make an act. Like,
it's so true.
You can get up there and like, dice. That wasn't a real person. Right. Like, he just created this thing. Like, you could just do whatever. There's no rule at all in this.
I love that.
Yeah, it is pretty like amazing. That's like one of the crafts that you can do that.
Yeah, I think what I'm learning, I've learned a lot in the past year because the guys, so Jeff McBride and Tristan Smith, I was kind of done doing shows.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, we have this back room. They took over, we went to contracts, and they were doing shows. And they were booking good comics, Mark Norman and all these people. So I would say, hey, any show you have, can I get on?
Okay.
And I'd be like, yo, put me after whoever's good. Because, like, fuck it, let me eat it or whatever, learn how to, you know. And that would help. And I learned a lot in the past year with comedy and that I didn't know back then. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because I wasn't doing it enough. And I wasn't following good enough people. And I was, and it's just interesting. Comedy, like, I was like, and part of what you're saying is being yourself more, obviously.
Yeah.
You get better results.
Sure.
Like you said, I can do anything I want. I just start thinking about all these different things that happen in my family, talk about them at, let's say, like a small show.
Sure.
And then you'd be surprised. Oh, my God, these three things are hilarious. I got to bring them to a big show. And it's like you're creating your – it's crazy. It's like it's all right there for you. The tools are definitely – like people who don't make it or whatever or just – not make it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of excuses, I think. There's a lot
Absolutely.
Of excuses.
Well, I think it's like you know, so the greatest thing that somebody ever said to me was like, "You're funnier than your act."
Right.
And when they said that to me, I was like, "Jesus, dude!" But it took a lot to take it. But then I started kind of like looking at it, and I'm like, "Okay, well, what they're saying is, yeah, I have these nuggets of comedy gold that I'm not even exploring because you know I've done all these things, and I think it's like, yeah, you got to look at that." And you seem like you've like, I kind of seen a change in you, and you know, just I mean, I really just know you off of your Instagram, off your 5-hour Instagram post,
1996.
You're crushing the Instagram post, but I know you're doing some big stuff, and you got some really cool things coming up that we're definitely going to talk about. And I think, you seem like you're taking it more serious now. I mean, you're focused, you're zeroing it in now because you're getting some heat and stuff. And I think that's, you know, that's a test that you know maybe you should kind of take it more serious. You know,
definitely. Well, that's what I did. I would say about 2 years ago, I was like, all right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the down low, take a little more serious. Try to get up at least twice a week. Don't do this once a week, once a month thing.
Yeah.
So I started getting my two in a week. And then little by little, I started getting booked. But my main thing was I was like, try to stay consistent. I would always forget, these comics don't realize the word will travel.
Yeah.
So even if you don't have the best set, stop trying all this new bullet. Like, just try to stay consistent.
Yeah.
There might be two comics who saw you. They're going to end up talking at some point. The word will travel. And then what I started doing is I started becoming obsessed with comedy. Now, like, if me and my brother and two friends are at the restaurant and we close up, I'll be like, do you want to play around on the mic? And we'll do, like, a feedback.
That's nice.
For people. And I would never do something. And that helps you tremendously, like, in my opinion. So I'm doing all those little, like, last night I went to Petey Diabru's show, Michael Che is there, Lucas Bro. I never did this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it all comes together. But you got to put in the work and you got to fucking, like... You got to take it seriously. You cannot do this part-time.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great, beautiful message because I feel like that's, you know, you're starting to do some cool stuff. I remember one of the turning point, a big buzz moment for you was Showtime at the Apollo.
Yeah. That was oh man, I want to talk about that. I never talk about this, and I have some funny stuff.
It was, and I was really happy. I was like, you know, I was like this little Latino kid, like he's like, because everybody, you know, it's like it's just fun when you hear that somebody did well, and like you, because that shit is not easy, you know. Because I did a lot of, I came up through a lot of urban rooms and stuff, and so I know how those crowds are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was cool. So what's, take me through that a little bit. So
Yeah. So BET, I love my sisters and brothers, but colored people time, it goes with networks, with everything. Yeah. Like, but we'll start with, I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
I did the old, I was like, this was 2014, I think it was. And I just did, I went online. I was like, let me do the line thing and just see what happens. You know, like wait in line. The audition went great. You have to do like 3 minutes.
Okay.
Boom, I hit them. They pick you out of all these. Oh, forget it. It was hours and hours you're waiting inside the Apollo Theater, by the way. It was a bunch of. But when you get to that point, and then you got these little auditions. But then the night of the show was the funniest part. Like, I was. They got us. There was two shows, like six and eight. And everything's starting late. Everything's late. Everything's running behind.
Of course,
everybody's like, yeah. And that's why I'm like, yo, BET is funny like that. But I know if it was like, you know, that's how it was cool. It was all good. But I was supposed to be on the early show. So I'm waiting around. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Skipping a lot of details. But I go up to the balcony because I hear the crowd and I look down and I can see the whole Apollo packed. And I'm like, this is amazing. And then I hear somebody, Alex, Alex. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. And they're like, no, you're going to go on this show. You're actually not on the next show. You're going up next. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you guys talking about? What is this? I was supposed to be on the 8 o'clock, and they just out of nowhere, just the show was in process, the early one. They're like, you're going up next. I put me in makeup. I was so nervous. I went up. I didn't even rub the wooden thing. And as soon as I got on stage, this lady was pointing like to me to get off stage. I'm like, oh my God, I'm bombing.
Yeah.
But she was trying to tell me to go back and rub the wooden thing. Oh. She was trying to be like, go back. And I just ignored it because I didn't have time. And then I just said, I'm from Brooklyn right away.
Gotcha.
I figured that would help, and I think I did like one Caribbean reference, and then I did this one bit, and one dude tried to boo me, but he was booing everybody. He booed the host. He booed the warm up comic. He eventually got thrown out. I swear, he was just there to boo. But it was just a funny experience. One of those ASAP Rocky was the guest.
Oh wow!
So they went up before us and like smoking weed in the hallway, and getting high. I'm like, what is going on? Like, it was just funny. Then they got into an argument with the people on staff because they had like a crew that was going to jump on stage with them, but apparently not everybody signed the waiver. So they had like their boy, you know, and he's like, nah, it's not he coming on with us. And they were like, no, he didn't sign the paper. And it was just a funny night.
That's great. So how'd you do? Like, you just got on, like, the response was good?
The response was great, except for that one dude. And, it was just a lot of fun. And then they hand you a fake $1,000. And then, you know, later you get in the mail. And I never really, like...
So you won?
So I won that, like, that amateur thing. And it was aired on BET. So that was cool.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, BET credit. That was great.
Yeah. And I never really... I actually took a step back from comedy. That's when the restaurant got busy. Not because of that, but coincidentally, we got on Taxi TV, and everybody started coming to Vespa.
It's pretty rough when you got a restaurant's getting credits too. You're just like trying to compete with like,
And honestly, comedy wasn't paying. And I honestly, this is one thing I will say to anybody listening. I was not ready regardless to where I am now and where it's going.
Sure.
And I think the timing is all fine. I wasn't going to be a hustler back then and go to the shows and do all these things and do feedback mics and become a... I just wasn't obsessed with comedy.
Yeah.
So it happened at the right time, I feel.
No, that's great. So you get the Showtime with the Apollo and BET, they aired it. That's amazing. And then I heard rumors that there's something happening with HBO, which is fantastic. And... Yeah, I'm excited to hear about that. Like, I think, you know, it's like you hear a little bit of stuff. You're like, what's happening? Is he doing a special? Is this like a thing? What's happening? So, Alex Cabano in the building.
Yeah.
So, Cabano?
Carabano.
God damn it. I was close. At least I had
that. Cabana.
Cabana.
Yeah. That thing on the
Carabano. Yeah. See, I'm not around you enough. In the building. So, yeah, everybody. Yay. Yeah, me clapping. Yeah. So yeah, man. So what's with the HBO thing? What is talk to me? What the fuck's going on?
That was pretty
fucking stud. What's
that
happening?
That was honestly really cool and fun. And yeah. So there's, you know, people like, why don't you enter? You know, I never enter festival things, and then I heard about this HBO Latino, New York Latino Film Festival stand up competition.
Okay.
So they're searching the whole United States for all the best Latin comedians who speak English. Like, we don't
have all their papers.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they just want comics, you know, who are funny, who, of course, you have to be of Latin descent. But it was really cool. So then they did that first search, and you submitted, and then they narrowed it down to six people.
Okay.
And then we had a competition. Everybody did 10 minutes, exactly 10.
Okay.
In front of, like, HBO industry and all these people. It was held at the Chelsea Market Hall, or Music Hall. Beautiful place, really just cool. And of course, I was really nervous.
Yeah,
but actually not nervous. I was more excited. I was nervous, excited. 10 minutes. It was me and a couple other people. Guys, you would know Mark Vieira,
okay.
Kenny Ortega,
sure.
A couple of guys. Abby Sanchez. I don't know if you know that. Dean Nasty. A couple.
Ken was on the show. I love Ken.
Oh, nice.
Kenny's yeah, such Kenny, a sweetheart.
Good dude, funny as hell, great host, and just a good comic. But So yeah, and I just brought my good, you know, my solid, what I've been working on pretty much. And from the moment I got on to the moment, and I did a callback joke at the end.
Nice.
And it just thankfully went so, it was one of those, like, as you know, we do so many bad shows, and you almost forget how good comedy
I've only
can
had
be.
Six.
I do so many bad shows at the V-Spot.
Yeah, but it's like Jordan, you know, you get to miss shots to make shots. Like, you know, it's like, I get it, that whole thing.
But I felt like I deserve this. I felt like all of us up there deserved it. It was so much fun. I was appreciative, and it went really well. So then, basically, they were supposed to pick one winner who would get their own half hour on HBO.
Half hour, that's amazing.
But, in this turn of events, they picked two winners.
Okay.
So we're sharing it. Me and Mark Vieira will have 15 minutes each.
Okay.
Which is, I'm totally fine with.
Yeah,
totally
of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then
bang out a good 15 is way, way less pressure. Yeah.
Bang out a 15. That sounds weird.
It's way better.
Yeah. But, so, and then of course they want to develop you. So hopefully if you do well on that, then you have opportunities to have your own 30 and then to possibly get on the regular HBO.
An hour, do other things. That's great.
So yeah, that's what's going on.
It's very cool, man. I feel Gina Brion seems to be very involved in that. Like
she's great.
She's part of part of it, or she's
She's done her own HBO special, HBO Latino. Like, so she's already been picked and done her own 30 minutes. And she hosted it. She's with them. She's, you know, they're great. It was really run very well, and it was just a lot of fun. My whole family, like, came, a couple soccer friends. It was great.
Oh, you've already shot it?
No. I meant the competition.
Oh, the competition. Oh, okay. When are you shooting the thing?
In 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So I've been practicing like, for 20-minute sets.
20-minute sets. Nice.
Clean. It has to be clean, of course. And I don't really see any reason to curse. It's a lot of family stuff, little restaurant.
Okay.
So it should be
clean. That's interesting that HBO would say be clean.
Well, not like, you know, you don't have to be squeaky clean. Well, they suggested, they said, the cleaner you are, then you'll be able to air it before 8 or something like that.
I got
you. So, like, they suggested that.
Okay, so they still have, okay.
So I'm like going to try to be clean.
Yeah, no, that makes way more sense. If I could go back in time, I would say, Dustin, be clean. But I just can't because I just feel like it's not in my soul. But I feel like it's definitely something that you should try to force yourself to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I remember hearing about Jim Gaffigan. He had he had an album, and it was dirty, and then he just recorded the same exact album, same material, but it was just clean. He did a clean version of it, and then that's when he popped. And he was like, it started getting airplay on the series. He started working more. He started kind of, then he just, you know, took off to what he is now. But it's like, but yeah, he made that decision, and it really like affected kind of where he went in comedy.
Wow.
Because it just kind of like, it was, you know, like you could play it anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's broad, you know, and it's like sometimes you limit yourself when you're trying to be Mr. fucking Lenny Bruce over here. But it's like, it's a rough road.
Right.
But it's, you know, but it is what it is. I mean, sometimes people can do it naturally.
Yeah.
And it's not difficult. But for me, it's definitely, I'm trying to get better at it. But it's definitely, it's something you have to work on, I think.
I sometimes I don't like when a comedy is dirty, but your stuff's, it's just funny. You're funny. And
I appreciate it.
And anytime I invite people to a show, I'm always like, watch this guy. And they always like, there's a core group of guys, like even like a Kenny Ortega, people I know that my friends are going to like, and it's cool. And you guys have something different.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And you've always been good, you know, just like your energy in the shows and stuff. And your friends are always fun. But that's cool, man. I think this is this goes to show you. It's like, it's like you just never know with comedy, because I feel like sometimes it's like, you know, like there's a lot of these like people that, you know, don't sign up for stuff. You know, they say, oh, I'm not going to do a contest, or I'm not going to like, you know, pursue some bullshit like that. Or, you know, they think like, you know, something like the Apollo, something like, you know, Latino contest, you know, it's just a lot of kind of, you know, sometimes pride gets in the way of that stuff. And then it's like, you just do this thing, like, who would have thought, you know, that it's something that's a, you know, doing your 6 minutes or whatever in front of, and then you get this thing, and it's like huge.
Never would have expected it even 6 months ago, a year ago. I will say, though, that like, you know, whoever's out there, when you have, you know, prepare, like when those cameras came on and the lights, I was very excited.
Yeah.
Of course, I was nervous. So you got to be ready, you know, make sure you don't want to go, you don't want to go there too early. You know what I mean? And like not be ready.
Well, somebody, yeah, it's interesting how people are about, you know, you get all these fucking bitter bus people. Yeah. These bitter bus comics, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. You get it's these guys. Somebody was talking to this girl the other day, and she was, I'm talking about Leah, who, you know, she's got Colbert and everything. And
that was dope.
It's very cool, and we're all very excited for her, because she's one of those people everybody likes and stuff, and they don't like me as much, but they really like her. She balances it out.
Yeah, and you get a little like through her.
Yeah, I need to. Yeah, she, you know, she softens me up, you know, and I'm okay with that. And so somebody was saying something, she was like talking about Leah, and everybody was just saying, yeah, she's been doing it a long time. And I said, not really. I said, she's been like about 10 years plus, whatever. I said, that's how long it takes. I said, you know, like, what do you, what's this thing where people say long time? It's like, no, it's not. It's like, you know, you want to be doing it a while.
Yeah.
So you're good at it. Like, it's not, you know, it's not something that it's right out of the gate. You know, it's like people like, and some people do get it early, and it shows, in my opinion.
Yep. Oh, they only last so long. It only gets them so far.
Yeah. It's just like there's certain comics. It's like they're embracing the youth of their comedy. Like, it's all about their youth. Like, the material's about their youth. Mm-hmm. And then what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember telling Pete Davidson, he was like a young comic. He's like 15 or something. He used to go on stage as the teenage comic. And I was like, I would do, come here. I said, stop saying that.
Right.
He's like, what? I said, stop saying that. Because it's just, it's corny, and it's like, you're not going to be a teenager forever.
Right.
So just let go of that.
Get out of that.
You're just a guy doing comedy who happens to be young. Like, okay, you can talk about being young, but don't you know, focus in. But anyway, it's like, but I feel like, like, I'm proud of my years. You know, sometimes it's like people treat you weird and like, oh my God, you've been doing it a long time. Yeah. But it's like, but it's not about how long you've been doing it. It's about how you've been doing it.
Right.
And it's just like, there's a lot of people, man, been doing comedy forever the wrong way.
Yeah.
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 It's like, you've been like,
I want to name names. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the, you know what I mean? Like, there's people that just, they just go about it the thing, and they're bitter and they complain. It's like, you know, and it's like, do you have a type five? Are you working on something? Or you, know, they get mad for other people, and it's just like, you know, it's like this weird energy that's just like not constructive at all.
Or if, and those people, I bet you, if they had an opportunity, big opportunity, I'm sorry to be something, but they're probably going to choke. Because
probably,
it's like,
yeah,
they're not really where they are, think they are.
Yeah, that's really, it has a lot to do with, you know, a lot of the attitude. Yeah, so you, so you really didn't, so the fact that you have these restaurants, you have two restaurants, right?
Yeah, yes.
You have one in Park Slope and one
East Village.
East Village, the spot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you've been running those. So those have kind of kept you in the city. So you haven't done like a lot of like road stuff, right?
I have not done a lot of it, but I do like a couple of gigs in the Caribbean.
Okay.
That was dope.
Okay.
I went to Canada a little bit.
That's
great. Not like...
Not crazy road stuff.
Not crazy.
Well, it's interesting because you've done it the other way around. Like, most people, they go into showbiz, and then they do showbizy stuff, then they open a restaurant. So you gotta open a restaurant, and then you kind of, and then you pursue showbiz more. So it's funny. It's like you're the opposite. Like,
yeah. I'll tell you the truth. I'm so grateful for that back room of the, because the past 5 years we've had that one. So yeah. I was like, well, why don't I use this? Like, come on, get on stage more, you idiot. Like, it's right there. Even if it's...
People come back there? I'd come back there if I knew people were there.
Yeah, there are. It's crazy. You know, the street is so busy.
Bite me down. I love that. I love that area. It's one of my favorite areas in Manhattan. You know?
Well, right now, I don't mind promoting this at all. So we no longer work with the Brick Spot Comedy guys. They were trying to do shows multiple nights a week. It just didn't work out. Yeah. Great guys, though. So right now, we do have a weekly. Every Monday, the guys from the Grizzly Pair, Gabe and Kenny, they do a show right now.
Okay.
So that's like anytime you want to work on some stuff, just come on by. But overall, they keep it pretty tight.
We can't say that club on the... I'm going to fuck about that stuff. Does make me laugh, though. It makes me laugh at all the competition of New York. It's like, you know, just in the Village. It's like, you know, so much comedy there.
So many different groups. You got the Lantern guys. You got the Greenwich. You got Grizzly. You got the Cellar. You got Village. Yeah.
It's really crazy.
There's all these other little independent shows, too, over there.
Yeah.
It's funny because every comic, male comic, we all know this. When you first meet a girl, you bring her over there and you walk around acting like... You know, let me show you the West Village, but you're going to bump into a lot of comics, so you look like Mr. Really? Cool. Really? You don't know that one? That's a move a lot of...
No, because I've been running rooms forever, so I try to avoid comics.
That's true. That's
the last thing I want to see is a comic. That's the last thing I want to see is a comic.
That's fine.
It's like, oh God, this guy's going to ask me for a spot. Keep moving. Go. Get across the street.
It's crazy how people just come up to you. Like, that's another thing I hated about running a show. How rude comics can be.
Yeah.
Let me get a spot. Hey, heard. It's always the same email. Hey, Alex, heard great things about blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's almost like they can copy and paste it and just change Dustin.
Sure.
You
know, it's like I used to complain a lot about, you know, the comedy etiquette and stuff. And, you know, it's funny. It's me being on both sides of it, you know, I'm able to, like, because some people don't take care of me at all. And some people think I'm the greatest and they totally take care of me and it's like a beautiful relationship. And so it's like, it's funny how it's like each club in Manhattan, unless you're, you know, famous or you have the credits at the club once or whatever, it's like you really have to kind of play this game a little bit, you know, of relationships, of people. And, you know, and the thing is, I used to be pretty gruff with people that didn't like me and be like, oh, fuck you. I'll open up a club around the corner. And I did that a lot. But then I also feel like there's this thing. I talk about it once in a while, but I feel like it really drives me crazy. You are a perfect example of this. You are the perfect example. Like, you and I, or, you know, like, we are very friendly with each other, you know. You don't, like, I haven't given you tons, you haven't given me tons, but it's not about that when we see each other.
Yeah, not at all.
It's just a normal thing. You like what I'm about. Yeah. I like what you're about. We have this thing. We joke with each other. Vegetarian. What, you like one of my jokes? We play around. We have a, you know, we don't see each other. But it's like, you never make me feel uncomfortable because I'm not hammering down your door.
Yeah.
And it's like, in you know, vice versa. So it's like this thing where it's just like, and that's what I try to tell people. It's like, just because somebody's not, like, you know, taking care of you 100% doesn't mean they don't like you.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they don't think you're funny. It doesn't mean that they're not going to use you.
Right.
You know? And it's like, I mean, just knowing now that you're on HBO, I'll definitely use you now.
I got him.
We got to sell tickets, man. Pay spots. Here they come.
I'll take them.
But you know what I mean? It's like, so, and it's just such a funny thing where it's like, don't get angry at people just because they don't take care of you.
I totally.
You know what I mean? Like, you're a perfect person for this.
And I would never give you that eye, like, hey, can I get a spot?
Yeah, no, like, it's not about that. You've never made me uncomfortable. Yeah. You might, maybe one day we'll be talking or something, and I'm cool with that. But it's like, there's really just a thing when people just, like, there's people that have just, like, because I haven't taken care of them on their timeline, they just fucking won't talk to me, won't look at me, won't give me any sort of, like, they won't treat me like a comic. Right. They won't, like, I'll crush, and they'll just suck, and they still don't, and they still, like, make it, you know, I'm like, shut up, dude. At least be better than the staff.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
The staff is crushing you. Like, who are you? Yeah. You know? So it's like, it's really funny how, like, I really can't emphasize this enough, is like, and the other day, it was like, the prime example, there was a club that wasn't booking me. that I really like working, and I used to work there a lot. And then, you know, and it's everything's about a changeover sometimes, or a change of regimes. Like, you just, you know, you're in with the one and then you're out with the new, and it just happens. And I kept staying positive. I kept not, because I wanted to go crazy. I'd be like, who the fuck, you know, these motherfuckers. And, I'd send an email, and I'd kind of edit it a little. And be like, all right, calm down. Calm down.
Cutting out.
And then and the guy would always kind of be weird with me. And then I remember, and then recently I went over, and like, you know, and he still wasn't booking me. And I went up to him. I shook his hand. How you doing, man? Shook his hand when I got there. Said, hi, how you doing? When I left, I went back into the club, shook his hand, said thank you. Like, I, you know,
yeah,
I made him feel like a thing. There was a Christmas party. It was at a comedy club. It was a booker. She wasn't booking me, and I brought her a Christmas. I brought her a fucking Starbucks card just for Christmas. She went. She hadn't taken care of me at all. But I was like, you know, Merry Christmas. Yeah. She still hasn't booked me. I've given her two fucking Starbucks cards 2 years in a row. She still hasn't booked me.
Right.
Two in a row. But I'm probably gonna give her a third.
Yeah.
Because I'm classier than she is.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, whatever. Right. And so it's this funny thing where it's just like, just keep it, you know.
Yeah.
Be better than them, but don't. But when you go crazy. And you're like, fuck this club and fuck you and whatever. And I've done plenty of that.
Right.
And it's like, Dean, it's, you know, you just hurt yourself for later.
Definitely. I totally agree. I also think, like, it's almost like if you meet a girl.
I love that's always girls with you. I love it. You're such a Mac.
You meet a girl. But, like, if you meet a chick and she's not fully feeling you, but or completely in that level, but you guys are getting along, you're going to now be a jerk to her?
Yeah. Take your time.
She might have friends.
Some pussy worth waiting for.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Yeah. Or, yeah, exactly.
Don't just, it's like sometimes you got, okay, I'll be the friend for a while.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Be the friend. Treat me like a comic for a while, and it'll probably do you in, and get better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, take your time. You can't, just because you think you're ready doesn't mean you're ready.
That's another thing. Like, I was like in the back, like, I wasn't posting too much, but I'm like, I'm gonna just slowly try to get better.
That's what you did. It'll happen.
That's what
you did. Absolutely. And now it's like you got all this cool stuff happening, and it's like, you know, it makes you more desirable, makes people like you and want to book you. And it's like, you're not gonna be mad for somebody didn't book you. You're still gonna take the freaking spots.
Yeah.
Like, gives a shit.
I'm not mad. And I totally. And I also get it. It's a business. Yeah. There's also people who've been working with each other for years. Yeah. Who am I to think that, like, now I'm in the, like, I play soccer, as you know. You see my story, and it's the same story every day. And you know, but we make our groups, and it's no offense to that guy. I like that dude. We'll smoke weed after the game, before the game, but he's just not going to get on my team. You know, like, his only can be eight.
Yeah.
There can only be eight players, and it's like,
you're going to pick the guy.
Yeah. And then, like you were saying, maybe a month from now, one of our players doesn't show up.
Give him a shot.
Yeah, we'll give him
a shot.
And
then he does well, and you're like, hey, this works. Yeah.
Or even if that doesn't happen, we could still be cool, hang out.
Yeah. It's like, I really feel like if I had to emphasize anything that's wrong with comics, like, that they have to really work on, it would be that. Just not holding a grudge when somebody doesn't take care of you in your timeline. It's huge. It's the biggest thing you could ever do. Because, and first of all, it's like, I got some other stuff going on that's not comedy club stuff. And it's just like, you know, it's other bigger things. And it's like, why would you want to, like, make it weird when you might be right for a TV thing, but maybe you're not right for this little club I'm doing?
Right.
Like, just stop making it so much about this one little moment in your life. And you're just like, feel like you weren't, like, soccer. You weren't picked for the kickball team.
Yeah,
and, like, you're fucking holding all this resentment. And you're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, I've had people want to fight me. Fight me because I didn't book them. Like, really? We're going to get violent because I didn't, you know?
I got you booked.
Yeah, he fucking threw over a thing.
Really?
Yeah, this guy's just gotten crazy. I had Larry Bay, like, holding some guy back from, like, a crazy shit. Just crazy shit. People wanting to, like, you know, fight you and stuff.
People,
it's like, come on.
So, like, who are you? Again, with the soccer thing, like, I'm playing with you. These are my friends for a couple of years. Why would I pick this new guy just yet? Maybe we'll build a relationship eventually.
Sure.
Like, how are you to think that you're so, like, I deserve, like, not that you don't deserve it, you know what I mean?
No, but it's also like, you know, respect your elders in comedy. Respect people that have actually done shit, you know? It's like people that have, you know, it's like when people don't even know, like, what people've done. You know what I mean? People don't even know. I helped Patrice on his half hour on HBO. I gave him tags. I ran it at Boston Comedy Club and took notes. Like, people have no clue where some of us have been in this business. And you're just like, come on, dude. You're going to treat me like a bitch because I ain't giving you whatever you think you deserve. where it was like, come on, man. I'm part of this. I'm part of this history, and you're going to be a bitch. And so it's like, it just makes me, it just drives me crazy. It's the one thing that I can't stand.
I hate
you know?
What I hate is when a comic, when I had my, I used to do a Thursday and Sunday weekly for, I did it for like 6 months with Saladu and Tino.
Yeah,
it was
sure.
kind of a, and a comic, I won't mention his name. He asked for a spot. I was not a big fan of his stand-up, but I was always like, put him on. Fuck it.
Sure.
He bombs. Of course, he had a great time, though. He told me. They always had a great time. I had a great time.
Well, that's what Pat Nixon and I were talking about last week. It's like always love, always tell everybody, like, how'd you do? He's like, did you see it? No? Oh, I killed.
Yeah.
But you in the room? We in the room? Oh, no. Oh, it was great.
Yeah. That's so ridiculous. But so he goes and bombs, and it bombs. Not only is it a bomb, it's awkward. I literally had somebody go, hey, that one guy was really weird up there. What was that? So I'm like, hey, sorry. You know,
at least be a funny bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, there's some guys that are good at funny bombs.
I was, another even a separation. You can bomb and still be likable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And still
Lance Weiss, I mean, is the man.
I love it.
He's the man at that. Him and Gino Visconti. There's certain guys that they bomb, it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's so true. And it's just as good as the set.
Yes.
It's funny.
Just as good as when they're crushing. Yeah.
But so then he bombs.
Yeah.
Sends me the follow-up email. I had a great time, blah, blah. Then he sends me a month later, when can I come back? I'd love to do it again.
Yeah.
So that's already annoying, but I'm like, I find out he has his own show.
Mm.
He never, that's the thing I hate.
Yeah.
He never brought it up.
Yeah. You're a solid comic. Yeah.
Like, wait, you, in a sense, could have ruined my show and kind of did it. You know you did.
Yeah.
And you won't put me, even for five, like,
I didn't even mention it.
That's my main,
No, I get it. Yeah.
So sneaky.
Yeah, that drives me crazy too. And sometimes I'll call people. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll say, like, I'll know that show. Like, hey, yeah, I heard you got a show. I'm going to do your show. And then they'll ask me to do the show. And I'll be like, I'm too busy. Yeah. I just want them to ask me because I feel like they're assholes for not asking.
Yeah, of course.
So when they ask me, I go, I got it. Is it paid? Oh, no, I got to go. Yeah.
That's funny.
But I force them to ask me so I can, like, shut them down. Because it's like they should ask me in the first place.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But, this is a funny thing, you know, the stand-up comedy. So it's like, it's a weird, you know, you just have to learn how to kind of weave through it. And I think you're doing a great job, man. I think you've found a way to kind of talk about what you want to talk about, you know, juggle all the shit you got to do. And then and you're having a great year. And you're popping up and you're doing stuff. And very proud of you, man. I think it's a very cool thing. And, you know, and I don't, you know, sometimes I get weird when people say they're proud of me, like, were you my dad? But I mean,
I'm just like, I just keep saying, like, anything. I get a little weird sometimes. But I appreciate it.
But you know what I mean? I'm proud in the sense of, like, I'm still kind of, I'm like a comedy dad. Like, I've been in this forever, and I see a lot of you guys, like, start out, and you just kind of don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you start to figure it out, and that's what I mean by it. It's like, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So, cool, man. So, excited to see, you know, great stuff. I usually ask people, do you have like a crazy show story? Like, anything like,
Oh yeah, I do actually.
Can you
bomb.
You bomb. Great.
I got a good bomb.
Please.
It actually wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah.
Emilio from New York Comedy Club is like, he had this gig where they wanted to be clean and do like 30 minutes. And I'm like, and I was in some like almost like a hall.
Okay.
But below a hotel, like a, and I was like, hell yeah, I would love to. It was in Jersey. My father lives in Jersey.
Yeah.
He doesn't really see me perform. This was maybe a year ago. I can't remember how long ago. But let's go. We drive there. We're running late. There's traffic that was not supposed to happen. It was a car accident. So it's already, I'm texting an email to the guy. And the guy, I believe, was Pakistani. And it turns out it wasn't just him and his, it was like this alumni Pakistani dinner thing.
Yeah.
Everybody in suits. It had nothing to do with them being Pakistani.
It kind of does.
Maybe a little bit. Well, the fact that there was meat everywhere. They're not like Indian people.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's beet meat.
Yeah.
The rice had, you know, ribs in it. I couldn't get anything. But everybody's eating and having a dinner.
Yeah.
And not only is there tables and everybody's eating, behind them are all most of the men, and they're all just chatting in suits. So the guy goes up, and he does one of these. Like, okay, guys, we're going to have Alex do comedy. And just walks off the stage. And I'm like, what? That's how you introduce me? And they barely paid attention to him.
Yeah.
So I go up there and I just try. You know, everybody's eating. Nobody's paying attention. It's not one of those bombs where like they were listening and it was just going bad. Like, I don't even know what to consider because I to this day I wonder if I was alive because it felt like I was a ghost because nobody. Yeah. Then I wondered, I was doing so bad and they were so, I think they set me up so their kids learn not to like do comedy. You know what I mean? But the worst part, I learned now that even if you're bombing, this is a job, you stay there and you try.
Yeah.
I never turned on them. I stayed clean. I just
did your time.
Did my time to the end. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to do it to the end. But I needed inspiration.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, fuck, I don't know. I'm in my head and I'm like, I start remembering that. I think it was Kickboxer when the dude sees his brother in the wheelchair. So I'm dying up there. I'm sweating. I'm looking around. I see my father. We lock eyes. I see my inspiration. And he's so embarrassed, he pretends he doesn't know me. He started acting Pakistani, so it was just—it was a really bad mom.
That's awesome, it's gonna happen. You know, you got
30 minutes, mom.
Oh wow! But you know what? You stayed and you did your time.
Hell yeah!
And did you get paid?
I did get paid, and I felt bad taking the money.
Feel bad taking that money ever? Because you know, here's the deal, bro.
Yeah.
They set you up in bad situations. You know how many fucking times?
Guys.
That's a comedy.
They didn't pay attention to me.
Comedy has to be done in a certain way.
Yeah.
It just does. It has to. You don't do a play on a subway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just like you. It's in the right way. Like you sit down. Yeah. You look at the thing. It's like comedy should have fucking tables. Tables should be right in front of wherever you do. It doesn't always have to have a stage, but you need to have tables close to the microphone.
Everybody was far.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so bright in there.
Exactly.
Too. Every light was
that's
on.
That's the worst is when like when there's like a dance floor and then the audience or some shit. That's the worst.
There was a dance floor audience and then behind it was a group of men that wouldn't shut up. They wouldn't pay attention to me.
Oh, it's just a nightmare. Yeah, so well, you got through it. You're going to be an HBO. I'll send them all a copy. Yeah. Let them know. Send them a link. Like, yo, I just want you guys to know I'm fucking funny, man.
Yeah,
if you had done it right, this is what happens when it's right.
Yeah. I had all these clean jokes for them.
You were all ready. Yeah. And then but that's the thing, man. You got to, you know, you got to put it off the canvas, man. It's like Ali got knocked out. You got back up. You got back up. He did another fight and beat George Foreman. You know what I mean?
And my father driving home, though. Driving home. He's like, so the vegetables, you know, like, Alice, you need to sell more vegetables. I don't think comedy is for you.
Well, how was he about this HBO thing?
Oh, he was there. He saw me crazy.
Oh, no,
I tried to explain to him, but I swear to you, like, it's better
that's
than
great.
This, you know. And then
he was there for the HBO. That's fantastic.
And
that's beautiful.
He got drunk after he was dancing with all everyone.
That's great.
It was really cool.
That's very cool. Well, I'm very excited for you.
Thank
and,
you,
and excited for it to come out. And so when does it come out again?
So we film in 2 weeks, and I believe it's going to – I think they said it'll take about 3 months, so maybe February-ish.
Okay, so you know, we'll definitely be looking for that. Anything you want to plug, like your restaurant, websites, Twitter?
I mean, if you guys like Latin vegan food, even if you don't –
it's actually good.
Thank
I
you.
Will say that. It's definitely – like when it comes to vegan stuff, it's very flavorful, and
thank
I think that's important. And more people should try that route.
Yeah, I was trying to tell people like
– flavorful, you know.
Yeah, we should try.
Flavor is it's an interesting element to vegetarian food.
Yeah, you'll
vegan
see like,
stuff.
No meat, no dairy. Like, what? No flavor.
Yeah.
But we try to spice it up, and I just want to mainly like I said, Monday nights, these guys are doing their show there. If you're ever bored, come by.
Sure.
If you ever want to work on time and anybody out there wants to see a free
where is
show.
It?
12 St. Mark's in the
okay,
East
cool.
Village. And then every Friday we do a video game night.
Okay.
It's 420 friendly. We get pretty stoned back there and play video games.
Nice.
And just check out the restaurants. We have alcohol if you don't like
it. Oh, you're a weed guy. I'm not. But I'm, you know.
Stop drinking.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think that's better. I think just smoking weed's fine. Have you ever smoked CBD, the weed without the THC?
Yeah.
What does that do? Anything? Because I have like a bum shoulder. I'm wondering if that'll help at all.
It kind of, honestly, I don't want to say it makes you lightheaded. You just feel a little loose. It's a little, you definitely feel a little bit, it's a little relaxing.
Okay.
But I don't really.
It's just useless?
Overall, it's useless.
Okay.
It's just something to hold in your hand. It's a scam.
That's what I thought. It is, right? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, because there's one that opened across the across from the club, and I was like, I went in there and I got the drops. The drops don't really do anything either.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't get this whole phenomenon.
The only thing I ever felt, I put on the cream. It was sort of
that kind of helps.
That one I felt like my thigh when I was hurt from soccer. But
yeah.
I think any cream that it was going to be, it was going to activate. But I would say, overall, it's...
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I'm not sure.
Hilarious. I'll just go back to heroin. and your Instagram. You got to plug that.
Yeah, just my name, Alex Caravano. Watch my stories.
Great
stories. Wait, I want to defend my stories.
If you have an extra 3 hours, watch the stories.
Wait, I want to defend my stories. If I have 16 stories, those little dashes, that's only 15 seconds per story.
I know. It's just funny, though.
So that's
because I'm just like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, my day. No, I know. You know what's the weird part? People actually, I have like a little group that, because you can see who watches it. I don't click it a lot, but you can see it. And I,
yeah, I'm all, you always see me watching. Yeah.
I get a decent amount. Like,
yeah. No, you do good. You do good.
Yeah.
People like it. Some people don't have things to do. So
yeah, it's fun. I want to show people, like, I'm busy. You're not.
Yeah, I mean, well, a lot of it is you just having fun, so that's a great thing. Yeah, yeah. Like playing soccer and being silly.
Nothing personal.
That's great. Very cool. Great to have you on the show, man. Very excited for you.
Thank you for having me.
Do some cool things. And, yeah, everybody, thank you for listening to the episode of I'll Leave You With This today. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, and definitely follow us on Leave You With This, Twitter and Facebook. And if you're interested in stand-up comedy, you know I'm the baddest comedy coach on the planet. So yeah. Go to Facebook, Outlaw Comedy Coaching there, and you can sign up for that, and we'll get you on this glorious path of telling jokes to drunk strangers night after night and beats working in a cubicle. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to I'll Leave You With This. Bye-bye.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.